Not if he's not constantly air conditioned, he'll have a heart attack.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
So every bulldog in the world should be exterminated. You on record with that? Let's kill off all the bulldogs.
If you want to make this a widespread crusade, we can make it. Dog breeding has gone too far. Stop buying from breeders. Adopt a pet today. I am pro pet adoption. Get your pets spayed and neutered. I will carry the fight of Bob Barker.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Essentially, if your dog is a little bit heavy set, John Reed is volunteering to kill it for
you. Did you know that bulldogs can't have sex by themselves? Did you know that? So if we don't...
It's a tiring task.
If we don't intervene, they will just cease to exist. Nature will take its course.
Here, buddy.
God doesn't want us to have these bulldogs.
You stand by your bulldog holocaust, and I will stay away from it.
On 1340 WKGN.
All I'm saying is it's fat, it can't breathe, it can't reproduce.
Should I be exterminated?
Can you reproduce?
You want to throw me in there?
Can you
I'm
reproduce?
I'm fat and I can't breathe.
Can you reproduce?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven, what do you got for me?
I've got some bad news. John, this is going to be extremely tough for you.
Okay.
But TikTok. TikTok.
I'm not a TikToker.
TikTok will be in WeChat. I really don't even know what WeChat is. But TikTok in WeChat will be banned from all U.S. app stores on Sunday, according to a new executive order issued by Donald Trump. So all you TikTokers out there, it's going to start to come to an end. But if you do already have the app, it's not going to just delete itself or anything. You still have the app, but any updates that come in for TikTok, you will not receive, and it'll be taken away from the app store. So if you don't have the app, you will no longer be able to download it. So tough news. Tough news for the TikTokers. I mean, this has been kind of circulating for a while that this is going to get banned. So I guess no surprise. It was kind of just a matter of time.
I'm not a TikToker.
You're not?
I despise TikTok.
Every now and then I'll see a funny TikTok, and I'm glad I saw it. But the funny ones make it to Twitter.
Yeah. It's way more cringe than
funny,
though.
The only time I see TikTok otherwise is when girls will send me them unsolicitedly, thinking they're funny, or like ones they've made, and I have to pretend like I think it's funny.
But they're really just cringe.
And it's really just stupid.
Yeah.
I'm just like, grow up, get off there.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of TikTok either. I just think it's all kind of silly, but yeah, like you said, there was a few good TikToks out there.
TikTok did get us the Vanessa Hudgens WAP dance.
Oh, yeah. I almost got TikTok because she has a TikTok, but...
So for that, we do support TikTok.
We have to be thankful.
That was my moment of weakness where I was looking at it in the App Store and almost hit download, but I didn't do it. I stayed strong.
Anyways, back to some sports topics. There was another injury update. Chris Godwin. He's been having.
I was going to call him Goodwin too.
Yeah, I know. He kind of looks like Goodwin too when you look at it. But Chris Godwin, he was in concussion protocol, and he has just now been listed as doubtful for the Panthers game. So Brady, he had Mike Evans dealing with a hamstring injury. It looks like he's going to play, but Chris Godwin looks like he's going to be out. So Brady, not going to have his full set of weapons again for Sunday, or at least 100% healthy, ready to go for Sunday, as he is listed as doubtful. We'll see if that changes over the weekend. And then, Hayden, you brought this up during the break. Joe Buck had a little moment at halftime of the game, Thursday night game yesterday. If you didn't see, Joe Buck received the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is a recognition of a longtime exceptional contributions to the radio and television in professional football. And Joe Buck will be joining his legendary father, Jack Buck, as the only father-son combination to receive this honor. So congratulations to Joe Buck. I'm a big Joe Buck fan. I don't know how you guys feel about Joe Buck, but I think he's one of the really, I think, better play-by-play out there.
I didn't like him at first. I have enjoyed his transformation over the years. He finally kind of realized that he shouldn't take himself so seriously. It did kind of surprise me to realize that he had been doing it for 20 years with Troy Aikman.
That is, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Doesn't seem like that long.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. He's had some moments that were really cringy. I mean, I always go to just immediately think about whenever he acted like Randy Moss had burned children alive at the stake for fake dropping his pants down to moon Green Bay's crowd. You know, knowing that Green Bay's tradition is to moon the opposing team's bus, like the fans do that. So Randy Moss had fun with that after catching a touchdown, and Joe Buck had acted as if Randy Moss had committed just unforgivable sins.
I do remember that.
But then his transformation, like I said, now he doesn't really take himself seriously. He kind of has some fun. So I like 2020 Joe Buck. And he got emotional. Getting inducted to the Hall of Fame is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, and his father as well, who passed away. And that's always a special moment, following in his father's footsteps and gaining the same award. So that was a pretty cool little moment at halftime. And again, congratulations to Joe Buck. Some other news, some NBA news. Giannis named MVP, most valuable player. He joins elite.
Oh, is he? Is he the most valuable?
He joins elite company with his second straight MVP, becoming the only player in NBA history to win multiple MVP awards and a Defensive Player of the Year award. The only other player is Michael Jordan. Giannis, big time.
One of these doesn't fit. One of these is not like the other. Oh, wait, there's only two. It's Giannis. It's Giannis that doesn't match up to Jordan.
Because of this, though, Giannis, he is now eligible for the Supermax contract with Milwaukee in the 2022 offseason. And so he's expecting a big extension after winning his second MVP. Of course, a lot of people...
He's not going to accept the extension this summer.
You don't think so?
No. There's just no point in doing it. I always imagine that even if he gets hurt, like you saw with KD, somebody will still sign up to give him max money. Like KD had one of the worst injuries you could have, a torn Achilles. And there was a team still willing to give him all the money.
Right.
So, like, there's no injury concern for Giannis. So, you just keep that leverage. You make sure Milwaukee does what they do, you know, what they promise you they'll do. And they put a team together around you. And you want to hold them hostage and make sure that they are trying to win a title. And then you'll either get that same contract or you can go somewhere else.
So, you know, a lot of people, I feel like, had issue with Giannis winning MVP, especially with kind of how the playoffs ended for him. Do you guys think he deserved the MVP award? Do you think because I mean it is, but like you've said before, it is based on regular season. I think the timing of award is a little whack, because after seeing him in the playoffs, it almost takes his credibility away just a little bit.
Well,
in my opinion,
it's better than it used to be. You are probably too young to remember this, but it's been worse before. The saddest is when Dirk got his MVP award. Because they used to give this out during the playoffs, like at a home game.
Yeah.
Now they've waited. Like, basically, since that happened to Dirk, they kind of started waiting. But, like, Dirk and the one seed Mavericks got knocked out by the Warriors.
I remember that. Yep.
And then they were supposed to be giving the MVP award out in the second round. So they announced Dirk has MVP, and then he has to, like, go on, like, inside the NBA or whatever, just, like, remotely.
After losing
video wise.
An
after getting embarrassed and, like, getting exposed and accept his MVP award. And you're just like, oh, man, this is really depressing. This is really, really sad. Like, for Giannis, though, it's going to be similar to that. Like, I mean, you didn't even make the conference finals, bro. It's not as bad as getting knocked out in the first round, but you got dominated. Mm-hmm. Again, in the playoffs. Is he the best regular season player? Sure. But, I mean, he's still at that age where he goes harder than anybody else in the regular season. If I needed to win a playoff series, he's not the number one guy I'm picking. He's not the number two guy I'm picking.
Right.
Or three. Or four. Or five. He might be five. But, like, I mean, in any given year, I'll take four other guys ahead of him if I need to win a playoff series. At least.
Yeah. Does the MVP award even matter anymore?
Yeah. No, it matters. The MVP award matters. Yeah, I mean, it might
not. For the money, absolutely.
Well, the money does.
For the money, I get that.
I think career legacy, it matters, too.
Think so?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think you'll always, whether it's fair or not, like, the fact Kobe only got one will always differentiate him from Jordan and LeBron. Whether it's fair or not, like, you'll look and say, Kobe only got the one. And the greats have four or five. You know what I mean? Like, Jordan. I mean, Jordan ended up with five, I want to say.
Yes.
I want to say he ended up with five.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, I think, has three, but he should have more. But, I mean, I was like, in the NFL, like, you look at, like, Peyton. Peyton had, you know, the most in league history. Like, that's a feather in his cap whenever you start talking about GOAT status. So I think they still matter.
Okay. I don't know. It feels a lot more about stats. I mean, you know, Russell Westbrook averaging the triple-double, and we all know Russell Westbrook's not the best player on the court. I mean, he hasn't been, really. So
yeah,
I think that's where I kind of draw a little.
But I mean, he was the story
it.
Of that season, though.
Yeah,
like that,
I get
that,
it. I get it.
I think that season he wasn't the best player, but I do think he was the story of that season. Mm-hmm. Durant leaving and him carrying that team and averaging a triple double. Like, I do think he was the story that season.
Then Harden had all those 40-point games that one year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, like it hasn't really translated to postseason success. I mean, there is always. Yeah, Jordan had 5. LeBron had 4 MVPs. There's always in the back of your mind, like, the thought that, like, hey, the best player should have more. Like, the fact that Steve Nash won it twice over Shaq.
Yeah.
Kind of stupid. The fact Derrick Rose won it in 2000, was it 2011, over LeBron was stupid when you look at just the numbers and, like, the impact. And who was the actual best player. And then they go head-to-head in the playoffs. LeBron just completely dominates Derrick Rose. Like, Jordan probably should have won more. They gave one to Karl Malone, like, in 97 just to kind of get throw him a bone. Like, it happens. So, and what, you know, and I guess the grand scheme of things, Draven, maybe the MVP doesn't matter as much. But whenever you win two, I think it matters. So, like, Giannis getting a second one puts him in rarefied air. Yep. Historically, as you start, you know, debating their end of their careers, like, that stuff will matter.
Right. And then to wrap up, you talked a little bit about the Celtics-Heat game last night, and after the game, there was a lot of interesting stories coming out with the whole Celtics locker room. A lot of fighting going on, some shouting. Apparently, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart had to be separated after a heated confrontation. They said there was things getting thrown in the locker room, a lot of yelling. And Woj came out and said earlier today that Brad Stevens had to have a late-night meeting last night with Kemba, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, the big stars of the team, to pretty much work through the emotions just because it got that heated. So, man, 2-0 deficit. A lot of drama, you could say, in the locker room. It's just not looking good right now for the Celtics.
Yeah, we'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Draven gave you the headline. There were screaming and throwing things. There were reports of fights. Just arguments. In the locker room last night following the Celtics dropping game 2, blowing a 17-point lead in the second quarter, and then blowing a 5-point lead late in that game. Celtics choke, Heat won't die. That's the message here.
Can't put out the fire.
They cannot handle the Heat. They can't put out the fire. And it comes down to the same thing I've been saying it comes down to. Miami just got more dogs, man. That team just keeps coming. They don't care if they fall behind early because they got a whole – everybody they put on the court except Kendrick Nunn can play.
Except Kendrick
Nunn. I mean, except Kendrick Nunn. Everyone can play except him. And I don't know – it feels a little bad because, like, he is coming off of the COVID – like he had the COVID before, like during the bubble, and like maybe his, you know, maybe his
conditioning
is just not there, and that's why he's missing his jumpers or whatever. But everyone else they put on the floor can go out there and do something good. Like Iguodala is kind of reaching the point where he can't really do it. Iguodala's minutes aren't very good for them. But when they put Kelly Olynyk out there, he can get a couple rebounds. He can try to hit a couple shots. They bring in Derrick Jones Jr. every now and then when they put the zone out there, and he can jump around. He's athletic. He'll fly around, get some rebounds, be disruptive, get in passing lanes. And we already know what Tyler Hero can do.
Yeah. Not a good shooting night from yesterday, but he did everything else.
Yeah, no, 1 of 8 from 3, 4 of 12 from the field, but he still found a way to get his 11 points. He still passed out 5 assists. And what he's doing on the glass, rebounding, is one of his biggest strengths. I mean, he is – coming out here and doing that for him.
Yeah, he was the second highest rebounder for him last night.
Yep. Yep. I mean, him and Bam. Bam had 10, he had 9. No one else on the team had more than 4. So, I mean, like, Hero was, their second leading rebounder. And, I mean, he was tied for the lead in assists as well. Like, he's creating offense for them and he's grabbing rebounds. They got guys that just come in and do their job. And they got a coach right now who is in his bag, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Coach Spo in his bag, coaching circles around Brad Stevens.
He's deep in his bag.
Brad Stevens, that third quarter. And at a certain point, like, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, the Celtics have lost every third quarter in the playoffs this year. Every third quarter they've gotten outscored. Last night, they got outscored by 20. So whatever the hell Brad's doing at halftime,
do the opposite.
It ain't working.
Do the exact opposite, probably, because, yeah, like, you can't go lose a quarter by 20 points. Like, come on now. This is the Eastern Conference Finals.
Every third quarter, they've come out and gotten smacked.
Just fall apart.
Well, they won the third quarter in game one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, well, before then.
Because it was tied at halftime, and they went up big in the third quarter.
Okay, well, before then, they hadn't won any third quarters.
Yeah, they outscored the Heat 28-16 in game one.
Okay. So except game one of this series, they had gotten smacked every third quarter. That reared its head last night, and it turned the game, right? They went from 13 up to 7 down.
And they're up 17.
Not at halftime.
Okay, yeah.
They're up 17 with like a minute left in the half, and then the Heat scored four, and got to be a 13-point game. That's not going to get it cut.
Shout Grant Williams, highest plus minus on the Celtics.
Well, I mean, there's going to be something. Like, I don't know what they can do with Grant because I don't know when he can play. Like, yeah. I mean, like, if he plays, it's going to affect their offense too much. Like, he's good defensively, but, like,
he's not a threat, really.
They're struggling to score points.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, I mean, they scored, 41 points in the second half?
Yeah.
Scored 17 points in the third quarter. And when it mattered, it seemed like the Celtics did what they've been doing kind of all year. It's just kind of, we don't know what to do. Let's just try to ISO. Let's pass the ball around the perimeter and hope somebody gets an open shot. But the Heat put a zone on them, and the Celtics had no answer. What they tried to do at times was put Marcus Smart at the free throw line, and that just didn't work because Marcus Smart has no offensive game. Like, he can do certain things, and he can get hot, and he can hit a couple outside shots, and he can, you know, be tough and throw a couple assists, but, like, you don't want him running your offense. And when you're playing a zone, anybody who's ever played basketball or watched enough basketball knows, like, one of the easiest moves is put someone at the free throw line in between the two guys on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. You get that, you get behind that first line of defense, and you're ahead of the back line, and either you can turn around and hit a 15-foot jumper, you can kick it out for an open three, you can drive yourself. You can find a cutter. Like, you could do all types of things there, but I don't want Marcus Smart doing that. I would rather have my most talented player, Jason Tatum, doing that.
Yeah, that's where he should have been.
Who is tall enough to jump up and catch a pass? Who is tall enough to see over the guards on the wings and, like, you know, either attack Bam again or shoot a floater over Bam? Or bring him up and find someone, you know, behind him. Marcus Smart doing that did not work. And, like, when the Heat put that zone on them late in the game, you saw them get, three clutch steals? Jimmy Butler had three steals? At least two. There was another one, I think. But he got two steals and two runouts, and that's an 8-point swing, basically. Jimmy Butler didn't have a great game offensively, but Jimmy Butler did what Jimmy Butler's been doing, which is just be the toughest player on the court, and when it matters, you're going to find a way to make plays.
Oh, yeah.
Both him and Goran Dragic, because that three that Dragic hit up two.
Man, yeah.
That was one of the best shots you'll see. That was with, 147 Silky. Left in that game?
Yeah.
And you felt like it was over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Even Boston came back, I guess, and got it down to a one-possession game again, and then Dragic hit another jumper, didn't he?
Yeah, I was about to say, he's cold-blooded. I switched on him, and he hit the jumper right over him again.
And see, like, to me, that's when Grant Williams should be in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I get that you might not want to trust a rookie, but, like, Daniel Tice, it's another thing. Like, I get, like, not wanting to blame Brad Stevens because eventually, like, players have to hit shots. And, like, Jaylen Brown had an open three in the corner to try to tie the game. And, like, if he hits that, maybe we don't blame Brad Stevens. But at the same time, defensively, you have to recognize, like, if Daniel Tice is in the game or Kemba's in the game, especially if they're both in the game, they're going to run a pick and roll at those guys. And, like, they have no answer on how to stop it. Because Kemba can't guard, and Tice can't guard a guard. And Miami got any shot they wanted late in the game. either Jimmy Butler going to the rim or Goran Dragic dancing around Tice and hitting jumpers.
I think that is like the key problem for the Celtics is, like you said, when it comes down to crunch time, there's people they can the Heat can go at, and they have a really good shot of getting a bucket. But when you flip it to the other side, all the Heat people can, you know, can fly around, can switch different players, so there's nobody you can really just straight attack.
Yep. Like Jimmy Butler's the Jimmy Butler's the go-to guy without being the go-to guy.
Yeah.
Like he's the go-to guy that doesn't have to create the offense if you need him to go. Like if it's a 30-second if it's 30 seconds left of the game, you need a bucket. Jimmy's going to try to get to the rim, and Jimmy's going to go in there and be willing to break his neck to get to the free throw line. You saw in game one, Tatum at the end of regulation was not.
No. Nope.
He wanted to shoot a step back three. Now, at the end of the game, I'll give him credit. At the end of overtime, he tried to go in there and break his neck, but Bam said, I'll just take the ball instead.
Should have stayed on the perimeter.
Now, that one he should have shot the three. Maybe that would have been a better idea. Or maybe shoot the pull-up jumper. Shoot that little floater that you have, Tatum. Mm-hmm. Maybe getting Gordon Hayward back will help. And, like, you don't have to play Daniel Tice. Maybe you just make Tatum play your five and, like, say, hey, yeah, Tatum, you have to be able to stop Bam. Maybe you make Marcus Smart try to stop Bam. I don't know. Like, maybe if Gordon's playing, maybe that's your closing five. If Gordon can play and Gordon can be healthy and up to speed. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't think that's going to matter unless Jason Tatum starts playing better. And last night he was fine. What do you have? I mean, 21 points, five rebounds, four assists. I mean, he was fine. Five turnovers. You don't like that.
Went to the free throw line a decent amount.
Yeah, I mean, when Tatum's going to attack, he's going to get free throws usually in a game. But, like, he kind of reverted back to last year's game where he didn't shoot threes. Mm-mm. He's a guy I want shooting seven or eight threes. He shot two last night.
Instead of Kemba Walker firing 11 threes off.
Which, I mean, Kemba had it going in the first half. He finally looked good, so I understand he was feeling good. But, yeah, in the second half, he didn't do much. Late in the game, he didn't do much. But back to that Tatum point, like, you got to shoot more than two threes, but also you need more than 12 shots. Like, Kemba shouldn't get 19 to your 12. And I get that the free throw lines kind of skew that. The free throws skew that because maybe that's an extra five shots you got fouled on or whatever. But also, I don't know if you guys have seen the stat. You checked out Jason Tatum's clutch numbers so far in the playoffs this year?
Oh, no.
Clutch time, I think, is defined as 5 minutes or less, five-point game or less. So far, the Celtics have found themselves in that situation 10 times in the playoffs. Jason Tatum is shooting 25% from the field and 12.5% from three, and averaging 2 points a game in clutch time.
That is not what you want from your best player.
Not if you want to be a superstar, and I know Celtics fans have been saying all year that he is a rising superstar. Well, buddy, you got to get there. You got to be willing to take the superstar shots, and you got to be willing to make the superstar shots. Mm-hmm. Anybody can be a star. Let me take that back. There are a lot of players who can be a star through three quarters in the flow of a game, especially in the regular season. There's a lot of people who can force the issue through three quarters. But you get to the playoffs, what separates the good players from the great players is what you do in the fourth quarter, especially if you're that lead dog. Can you get a shot? Can you go out there and get somebody else a shot? And right now the Celtics are struggling because the only guy that can get the shot is Kemba Walker. And Kemba's been pretty good in clutch time. His numbers are pretty good. He's been their most effective player. Problem is Kemba's confidence usually gets shot before they get to that point. Or last night the Heat had two monsters out on the wing, Butler and Jay Crowder, just erupting everything on the at the top of the zone, and Kemba couldn't get by them. And then if they did get by him, they had Bam ready to step up and, like, swarm. And, you know, you saw the last 4 minutes, the Heat just cut the water off, man. Like, the Celtics are up five, and it looked like they were about to make it 1-1. Yep. Kemba hit that step-back jumper with, like, 3.5 minutes left. You're like, okay, maybe they got it. And then the Heat were just like, nope. I don't think you do. Celtics are in trouble.
Yeah.
They're in trouble. I don't want to say the series is over. Because, you know, Toronto is just in this situation against the Celtics and pushed it to seven. Now, they ended up losing, but they pushed it to seven. We've seen what the Nuggets have been doing down 3-1. And, you know, some help might be coming with Gordon Hayward. Although, I would be surprised if he played game three. Just because they're getting an extra 2 days of rest. Because the NBA decided they didn't want to go up head-to-head with Monday Night Football. They're like, hey, we're just going to play on Wednesday instead. Plus, they're also like, this East series might be over way too early. where like they're getting a week and a half of rest, 2 weeks of rest compared to like when the Lakers and Nuggets will be done. So like, hey, let's just push this back a little bit because it might be over in four, it might be over in five. I don't want to say it's over, but I would be absolutely shocked if the Celtics won four of the next five games to win the series. I don't think anybody's beaten this Heat team four out of five times, and that's including the Lakers. I don't want to say they're my title favorite right now because they're not, just because they don't have two top five players, but I do like the way the Heat match up with the Lakers. Like, I know we're penciling in LeBron for his fourth ring, but man, it's going to be tough to beat this Heat team. Like, I know LeBron's better than Butler. I'm not saying that, but Bam can somewhat check AD, Crowder, Iguodala, Derrick Jones. Like, you can throw those guys out there to try to make them guard LeBron and at least bother him, and it's just going to be whose skill position players step up more. The Heat have better skill position players.
Yeah.
So the Lakers better hope it comes down to whose stars perform well. And that AD and LeBron just dominate Butler and Bam. Although the way Butler and Bam are playing right now, it's going to be tough to do.
Yeah.
Especially with the way Spo is coaching.
Not easy to dominate those guys. Because like you said, they're dogs. They're not going to back down without a fight.
They could have easily packed it in down 17.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're like, you know what? Let's just keep coming. And they shoot the three so well that like they're going to find a way to get back in the game.
Stay in any game, yeah.
And last night, they didn't even shoot well. They shot only 32%. The Celtics actually shot a better percentage than them. Now, they hit four less, but the Heat fired up 43. Like, hey, just keep shooting. We got shooters. Only hit 14 of them, 32%. But you had Duncan Robinson show up. You had Dragic hit a clutch one. And that was good enough. Olenek hit that lucky bank one at the end of the third quarter that kind of got the ball rolling their way. Or at least like started putting separation in between them.
Yeah.
All five guys, double figures in the starting lineup. Hero off the bench with double figures. That's tough to beat.
Duncan Robinson had it back a little bit yesterday, too.
Yeah, he did. He did, but he still wasn't in at crunch time.
Yeah.
Like it was nice of him to find 32 minutes and find six shots. He hit his six threes. He actually set out of foul trouble for the first time. He was good on the court. He brought them back. He helped bring them back. But, yeah, when it's crunch time, they're still going hero. Like they're closing fives tough to beat with Bam, Butler, Crowder, Dragic, and Hero. That's a pretty good closing five. That's a closing five you'll take up against almost anybody's.
Yeah.
Definitely over what the Celtics are throwing out there right now with Daniel Tice.
Yeah, he's. Oof.
That's no disrespect to him. Like he's just like a serviceable. Like he's a serviceable center, yeah. And like you're seeing the Celtics just refuse to prioritize that center position or even someone who could play like small ball five. They had a bunch of draft picks over the last couple of years, and like you know what, we're gonna keep. We'll rely on Horford. But then they did nothing to replace Horford this year. Like Horford left, and they're like, okay, what can we do? Just bring in Enes Kanter.
Draft another guard.
Like maybe Grant can do that eventually, but like they're not trusting him to do it right now. Maybe that's an adjustment they have to make, as Grant just has to live and die with Garden Bam in crunch time. Maybe that's the adjustment. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Knoxville's premier entertainment venue located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Go throw some axes. It's a good date night. It's a good night out with the squad. Take your kids there, too. Just be careful. Don't let them drink the White Claws. Don't do that. Let's do a quick leaderboard update over at the U.S. Open. That course is starting to eat today. Yesterday wasn't as bad as, you know, the typical U.S. Open at Wingfoot is. But today it is starting to really take and make some of the world's best look pretty goofy.
Just coming back in the form.
Did our internet go out? Did our internet go out? Because my leaderboard won't update. Here we go.
Nope,
is it coming? Okay, it's back. So far, who's our leader in the clubhouse? I guess our
Justin
leader.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I guess Thomas hasn't started yet, but through the first early wave, some of the guys that were at the top got shredded. I mean, Matthew Wolf was one shot back when he started his round today. And he did not survive the day. He went down to, where'd he end up at? Five over on the day, one over for the tournament. John Rahm, the world's number two player, he's in the clubhouse. He was two over on the day, one over for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it's like Bubba Watson was going to make a run. He had gotten to 2 under on the tournament, but he dropped all the way back to +1. So the leader,
1 under on the day, though.
One under on the day, but still went over for the tournament. Which, you know, maybe with this afternoon, the way it goes with Thomas and Reed, and maybe they will make a charge. But right now, your leader in the clubhouse, my guy, the mad scientist, Bryson DeChambeau. He shot 2 under today on a day when everyone else was kind of struggling. Bryson rallied his last couple of holes, at least his last hole. He went birdie, par, par, eagle, 3 under through the last 4 holes to get to 3 under on the tournament. He's 2 shots off the lead, which, again, the way it's playing today, Patrick Reed and Justin Thomas might come back to him.
Yeah, and Thomas, Reed, and Rory were all slated around 127, so they should be out there now.
Yep.
Yep.
They're in that I guess that last not the last group of the day, but the last like premier group, the focus group.
I think Adam Scott's in there with him as well.
But Bryson right now, the leader in the clubhouse, he went 5 birdies, 5 bogeys, 7 pars, and an eagle.
Nice.
That eagle's gonna make him feel really, really good as he's sitting in the clubhouse as he's trying to win his first major. Any college football games of the weekend we're worried about before we get to turn left next segment? Anything this weekend? Louisville, Miami? Is that it? It's the
that's,
last weekend.
That's the best game.
It's the last weekend without the SEC, though.
Yeah. Georgia Tech, UCF.
I mean, you laugh, but I actually kind of am interested.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
I'm actually interested to see how Georgia Tech bounces back. Like, I don't know if I'm going to sit down and, like, make time to watch it.
Yeah.
But I do want to see what Sims looks like at Georgia Tech and how they respond from winning a game. You win a big game against Florida State, which Florida State's not very good, but for Georgia Tech, that's a big win. How do you follow it up?
Especially after they're only predicted to get 2 wins all season now, so now they have a chance to go ahead and already match that. So
now they're we'll playing, I guess, UCF's ranked top 15.
Yeah.
UCF's number 14. Yeah. UCF has to be sick. They're like, man, if we could just have that team that went undefeated this year, we would have had a chance to play for the playoff.
Yeah. Legitly.
We would have had a chance because, like, the SEC is going to eat a couple of its own teams.
Yeah.
You would think.
Houston plays Baylor this weekend, too. That may just be, like, an entertaining one, you know.
That's the one that they threw together, like, in, like, yeah. a day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, last they scheduled weekend, like 5 days ago. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, get us on the schedule. We'll play this weekend.
Yep. Besides that, nothing crazy.
App State and Marshall.
I'm not watching any more App State games.
Me neither. They pissed me off so bad.
Last week, you just kept telling me how good App State was, and
they were good. They were good last year.
And then they still
won. But
yeah, they won. That's fine. But I'm not watching any more of their stupid games.
It was also raining though. We should probably take that into account.
They're a running team, aren't they? I mean, I feel like they,
well,
I feel
they
like
were
the best
last year with Derrick,
running backs.
With Derrick
best,
Evans, they ran the ball a lot.
Yeah,
but now
their
best
quarterback's
player is a quarterback.
Pretty good.
I thought that Peoples guy was a beast, too. I don't know.
Well, they had two guys rush for 100 yards. So.
That's what I'm saying. It looked like they were good at running the ball to me. Either way, I don't know much about App State, so I'm not going to argue with you. Miami Louisville, though, that's the only top 25 matchup. That's the primetime game, ABC 7:30. Louisville coming in as 2.5-point favorites. Who are you rooting for in this game?
Louisville.
Rooting for Louisville?
I like Satterfield.
I like Satterfield, too. I liked Malik Cunningham last year, too, a little bit. They're a young quarterback. I want to see what he can do in year two. Although, De'Aaron King, I kind of don't have any problems with him. And
I like De'Aaron King.
Manny Diaz, I kind of want to see be successful.
Yeah.
But I think Louisville wins.
Louisville's explosive. They got some explosive players.
Well, Miami was supposed to be explosive this year. I mean, that was the idea, was they were getting King and going, like, spread out. And they didn't do that in game one, but maybe they were just kind of saving it. Like, hey,
maybe.
Let's get this win. Let's get some reps. And then game two, we'll kind of open up the playbook. Because the over-under is set at 64.
Yeah.
So, like, there's supposed to be a lot of scoring.
There's a lot of scoring this weekend. On every single game, pretty much.
Well, I mean, I think what we've seen so far in college football is that, like, these defenses aren't necessarily up to speed.
Yeah.
The lack of tackling and practice has hurt the defenses way more than it's hurt the offenses, I think, is what, you know, so far the early takeaways from college football have been.
Yeah. We'll
Draven, you rooting for either one of those teams? Miami, Louisville? I mean, I don't truly care. I guess I'll root for Louisville, but I don't really care.
I don't really care, but you know what? I'll root for the U. I want to see the U back in business. So I'll root for Miami, I guess, Miami. If I have to root for somebody in that game.
Okay. That's the game of the weekend. But again, next weekend.
Louisiana, Georgia State.
Next weekend, we will get to back to like the SEC. Next weekend might feel like college football again.
Yeah, it should.
That Louisiana game's interesting. First time ranked in a while, and now they got to go on the road to Georgia State. Oh, it feels like a dangerous game right Trap there game. For the newly ranked Louisiana.
Trap game for sure. I mean, how does this team handle some success? They got to be feeling like they're on top of the world and can just show up and beat anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that's not the case. I would hope they would.
Yeah, they're favored by like 16.
I would hope they would realize that they need to.
What's Georgia State's coach's name?
Jeff Collins. Oh, Georgia State. Georgia State. That was Sean.
Crazy dude.
Was it
Crazy
Sean?
Dude.
I want to say no Sean idea. Fry. That's not right.
Didn't he used to be at South
Carolina?
South Carolina.
Yeah. Is he got Sean Elliott?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Sean Elliott.
Yeah, he'll have him fired
Sean
up.
Sean Fry.
I don't know.
There's somebody named Sean Fry in my head. Can you look up who Sean Fry is?
I'm interested in that Georgia Tech and UCF game, though. Yeah. I like Georgia Tech last weekend. The quarterback made a lot of mistakes inside the 20-yard line, but
yeah,
they
moved the ball well.
That was his first game, too, and he moved the ball, yeah. And, like, I just think Georgia Tech has the potential to eventually be good if they recruit
Jeff
and play
Collins
a fun style.
For him, he seems like a good get for them. But
who knows Sean Fry is? Is that anybody? Who the hell
A child actor. There's a child actor named Sean Fry. I don't think that was who you're referring to, though.
What did he
play
in?
Well, there's so many different ways to spell Sean, too. That's so fair.
What did he play in?
I didn't even look. It looked like he was from, like, the 60s or 50s, like, movies.
Okay.
So
that's who I was thinking of, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say. Maybe
former child actor.
There's Sean Fry. It's a municipal court judge in Cookeville.
Not him. I wasn't thinking of him. Sean Fry. That's, the child actor that played in For Keeps and E.T.
Oh, okay. So 80s, 70s movies. I just saw, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely who I was thinking of.
Okay. Makes sense.
For sure. Okay. Let's turn left. We haven't turned left in a while. Let's get a NASCAR update next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's
a little bit of Titans breaking news as we come back before turning left. Looks like A.J. Brown's and Darrington Evans, the backup running back, both out Sunday versus the Jaguars.
Ooh, uh-oh.
I don't think A.J. Brown being out will be a big deal against the Jaguars, but maybe it's just really good news for Corey Davis. Contract Corey, number one option. Let's go. Contract Corey and Jonnu Smith about to eat.
Feed.
I would rather just see A.J. Brown get healthy. All right, let's turn left. Hayden, fire up that music, please.
All right, while we're still under a caution, I want you to go back out on that track and hit the pace car.
Hit the pace car?
Hit the pace car!
What for?
Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Get on, Earhart. You scared the competition. I'm just as poor and stupid as you. I'm going to drive, and I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to turn to the left again.
Can we just get back to the subject of racing, please?
Hell, bring it on, Danica.
Son of a bitch just slammed into me.
No, he didn't slam into you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Dude, check it out, Kenny! My very own NASCAR! Aw, cool, huh, Kenny? Beep, beep!
There's only one good thing about coming to these races. The vibrations from the car. Oh, I love this car! This car! Oh.
Vroom, 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 I love NASCAR.
All right, it's our first turning left in a while. We're smack dab in the playoffs, Cam. You've let us down. What's going on?
Well, it's Bristol, baby.
Bristol.
So now we're going to Bristol. Okay. And this is the first time they're cutting down the field after this race. So.
Okay, so this is it. This is the fourth, I guess, race of the playoffs so far?
This is the third.
Oh, they cut
this
down
is the third.
Okay.
So we've already had the past couple races. Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski got wins, so they are for sure safe But yeah, we were cutting from 16 down to 12 after this weekend. A surprise person, if it's on the cut line, is Ryan Blaney. He's sitting in last place right now. Mm. He's been pretty good this year, but he is sitting in 16th, 27 points behind the cutoff line. So he needs to finish, I think, about top five to have a shot to make it. But other people on the cut line are William Byron, Cole Custer, Matt DiBenedetto, and Ryan Blaney are the guys under the line. Like I said, Harvick and Keselowski are safe this week. Hamlin's right behind them in points. So I think everybody in the top five is Harvick, Keselowski, Hamlin, Logano, Truex Jr. I think those guys are pretty safe. And most of those guys usually do pretty decently enough at Bristol where they should be fine. But yeah, Bristol's getting this night playoff race. First time in a while, I think, or maybe Bristol, first time ever.
Bristol has gotten a lot of action this year from NASCAR. Is it because Tennessee, like, are we allowing fans again, I guess? Are we allowing fans at Bristol? We are allowing fans. Yeah. I got a friend going. So yeah, we.
And it's a fun track. It's an entertaining race track. So
I feel like it should be playoff.
This is the first
track. It can be hectic. So
I'm saying I don't feel like it should be a playoff track. I feel like it's too random to be a playoff track.
This is the first time ever, though, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's usually in August, like middle of August.
But, no, it's a big for Bristol. Big for Bristol. So Bristol's going to be the center of the NASCAR world this week, especially because it's basically a pressure situation for a lot of these guys being, in the elimination race, pretty much. So, yeah, after this weekend, they will be cutting this down to 12. I guess, like, DiBenedetto's usually pretty good here. Ryan Blaney's pretty good here.
I was going to say, Blaney might be getting a lifeline here, right? Yeah, isn't he like usually pretty good?
Yeah, he was actually, I think, running second in this in the spring, and then he got spun out, and he still finished, like, fourth or something, I think, just, crashing along the finish line. But
so they cutting down four spots out of the playoffs?
Yep. Yeah, four people are getting cut out.
Does a win carry extra weight here?
A win, you're safe.
A win,
a win's safe.
Okay.
Yeah. So if Ryan Blaney came out here and won, he'd be good to go for
that
sure.
That might be kind of the only way that he gets to stay safe.
Yeah, I think top five, he could still do it. But it does kind of depend on just the points he gets throughout the stages and things like that. It's a pressure situation, and I think he's gonna be up to it. I think he's gonna be up to it. I think he's gonna run well. I actually have him winning this race. I think he's gonna get it done. He was close in the spring. I think he's going to be right there in it. And then right behind him, I got Brad Keselowski, who won last week and won Bristol in the spring. So
okay. Yeah, Keselowski, I feel like, always runs good at Bristol, right?
Yeah, so he'll be in the mix for sure. But I got Blaney, Keselowski, Hamlin. I got Jimmy Johnson in four. Well, he's not even in the playoff race, but I think he'll still finish in the top five. He's just going to be an annoying guy that's taking the spot there.
Okay.
Because, they just let everybody race still. So I got Jimmy in there, and then I do have Matt DiBenedetto at fifth. I think he'll sneak into the top five. He usually races well here, and it may be enough to get him over the cut line. But we'll see how that plays out. Should be a fun race, though. It should be pretty fun. Night races at Bristol usually are a pretty good atmosphere, especially we're getting some fans in there, stuff like that. So big weekend for Bristol. So good for Vim. Good for Vim. Should be a fun NASCAR race. And
you got who winning it again?
Ryan Blaney.
Ryan Blaney. Keselowski.
Yeah.
Being in the mix.
Yep. Blaney, okay. Keselowski, Hamlin, top three.
A little bit of breaking news. Hayden, will you please hit the horn? According to Bruce Feldman, tomorrow's Baylor-Houston game has been postponed. So they got it together in 16 hours, and they're canceling it like 24 hours before kickoff. I don't know if they just didn't get – the coaches don't feel comfortable.
Or if the tests were
or if
coming
the tests,
back.
Yeah, the tests came back. I would assume it was probably more test-related than just like teams not feeling up to the task.
Yeah, it's not like they had to travel crazy far or anything.
Yeah. So that was one of the better games tomorrow, but Baylor-Houston has been postponed.
Hate to see it.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.